Amen. We are on the winning side. I like winning. I've done enough losing. I'm going to take the win when I can. And on this one, I have nothing to gloat about. I have nothing to point at old number one. No, I can point at number one, and it's not Michael Rochester, I promise you. It is the Lord Jesus, and He has made us more than conquerors. He has delivered the victory to us and for us, and I bless His name. The book of Joshua, if you will, let's go back there. I went back and done something I hate doing. I got on Facebook and I went and watched myself just to see where I stopped. I hate hearing me and I hate seeing me. I'll tell you something funny. I used to have a radio broadcast, and I still do, but I had one down in Georgia that went all over, and I had to edit it, do the editing to get it down the 27 minutes and so many seconds. And as you know, I don't preach 27 minutes and so many seconds. And little do you know, I used to preach a lot longer, Brian, than I do now. And I did a lot longer. But if you've ever done any whittling on a stick and with a knife, I love a pocket knife, and I love cutting and whittling. And I'd get to whittling I'd have to play my message and listen to it and cut out parts that I didn't like or that I didn't say like I thought I said it or like I meant to say it or like I wish I had said it, and the ums and the uhs and the all that stuff. And then I said, well, I just don't like that either. My goodness, I could have said it better there. And I would whittle that message all the way down to I wouldn't have one left. And so finally I had to give that to somebody else. I said, you may criticize me, but I promise you are no bigger critic on me than I am. And so today I did something that I hardly ever do. I listened to the service this morning just to see where we got to. And then I clicked off of it quick as I could. And I realized, and what got me tickled, I didn't cover much of anything. I may have said two sentences that I had wrote down. So all of that was for nothing, I guess, to start tonight. But it's okay. When the Lord feeds it to you fresh, it's good food either way. And as a dear man of God, Brother Ed McAbee, used to always say, a prepared man is better than a prepared message. That's so true. Joshua chapter number 1, let's turn there. I'll let you stay seated tonight. I know some of you are tired, and we'll just let you stay seated. Verse number 1 of Joshua chapter number 1, if you're there, say amen. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. As I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Get these words. If you write in your Bible or underline in your Bible, I would highly recommend you underline this phrase. So I will be with thee, colon, I will not fail you. I will not fail thee. God said, I will not fail thee. God made a promise to the children of Israel, I will not fail thee. And that promise was not just to the children of Israel, but it's to the children of God. God promised, I will not fail thee. If you're going up against the hospital and some tests tomorrow, Brother David, God's word to you is, I will not fail thee. If you're facing a funeral around the corner, God's promise is still, I will not fail thee. As we were praying just a moment ago, I prayed over Brother David and meant it with every fiber of being within me. I said, God, you don't make mistakes. We can trust you, and we do. Because he promised, I will not fail thee. Amen. He said, I'll be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor... I mean, if that wasn't good enough, he went on to say, nor forsake thee. Any of you young preachers been hunting something to preach? Well, my goodness, just dive in right there and swim a while. There's a message. He said after that, that's what God said, that's who I am, and that's what I'll do. Then he peers and turns toward Joshua and says, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Here it is, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. God said, I want you to walk straight. Ain't too many people interested in walking straight. God still ain't for crooked people. God ain't interested in his children living crooked lives. God said, don't turn to the right, don't turn to the left. Amen. You know how you turn, if you want to walk in a straight line, you know how you can fail that real quick? Look to the right or to the left while trying to walk straight. If we want to walk straight without veering to the right or veering to the left, you know what I found? Find me a mark down straight ahead and don't take my eyes off of it. I don't care what's going on right here. I don't care what's going on right there, because the devil will try to detour you and distract you and get your eyes off here and off there. And before you know it, you will be done veered and got in a ditch. And God said, you've got to be very courageous and keep a close connection with my word and with the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left. Why? Not because I'm a God and I'm just commanding you to do it and I won't give you no reason because I'm God and I said so. Nah. No. He didn't have to. He didn't have to go on and give us a reason of why he said don't go to the right or to the left, but he did. That's just how good he is. You'll know why. You'll know why. And he reinforced that several times. You want to be prosperous? You want to be successful? You want to succeed? You want to make it to Canaan land? Listen, he said, why? That thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate. Meditate. It don't need to leave our mouth, and it don't need to leave our mind. I mean, when you're not looking at it, listen, when you're not looking at it, you need to be listening to it.
When you're not looking at it and are listening to it, you need to be thinking about it and meditating and musing upon it. Don't worry about a chapter or a book a day. Get you a verse. Get you a part of a verse. And let God speak to you and take that verse. I just read you one. God said, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Meditate on that. Put that in your mouth. Put that in your mind and meditate on that all day long tomorrow. And when the devil says, you've lost it, you're a failure, you ain't going to make it, say, God said, I will not fail thee, I'll not forsake thee. And you meditate on it, and you meditate on it. And when he comes knocking on your door and accusing you, you give him that. As it is written, just like Jesus did. Amen. We got to learn how to talk to the devil. Hey, we can't afford to ignore him no longer. He has done all the talking. It's been a one-way conversation for way too long, and we've listened to his lies. We need to learn how to resist him, and he will flee from us. How do we resist him? With the Word of God. Yeah, yeah. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. I need everybody to look up here for a minute. We're talking about Canaan lands just in sight. But that part I just read to everybody, it's important. We all want to get there, don't we? I mean, at least we'll all say that. I don't think anybody come to church and I say, nah, not interested. I think I'll just keep wondering. I think I'll just keep walking in circles and making no progress. Who in their right mind is going to say that kind of nonsense? Yeah. If you're thinking it, please don't let it come out your mouth. Yeah. No, we all think we want to go there. That's why you're here. You come tonight with the hope and the faith that God would speak to you through His Word, by His Word, and put some fuel in your tank to help you get out of the wilderness and to Canaan land, because it's just inside. Right? That's the hope. That's the desire. That's what God sent me here to preach about. But I said this morning, the Christian life ain't all that easy, and it ain't. But we got to get this. Neither is the alternative. Not living the Christian life ain't all that easy. Nowhere in that Bible do I find that it says the Christian life is hard. The way of the Christian is hard. I find principles that point to that. I find truth, but the Bible comes right out and clearly says the way of the transgressor is hard. So if it's going to be hard either way we go, if we're going to have to battle no matter where we're at, why wouldn't we make progress? Why wouldn't we make up our mind, if I'm going to have to fight, I'm going to fight for a purpose and for the right reason? Amen. Yes. Amen. And so, I was talking about how important God said His Word's going to be and keeping His law. And He goes on and amplifies that. And enlarges that thought to let them know. He started out and said, he didn't just say be courageous. He said be very courageous. Wonder why? Wonder why the Holy Ghost would put that word very courageous. I'll tell you why. Because the Holy Ghost knew they was giants in the land. And the Holy Ghost knew that the devil wasn't going to take this sitting down. And the Holy Ghost knew there was a bunch of Jebusites and Hittites and a bunch of Moreites that was going to do everything in their power to not turn that land over. And we're going to fight them tooth and nail all the way. And God, the Holy Ghost, said, be very courageous. And it is by no accident that God, the Holy Ghost, keeps speaking of the law and holding the Word of God and meditating on it. keeping it in your mouth and meditating, because if you're going to make it there, you're going to have to get it there. His word's going to have to be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path if I'm ever going to get down the path. That's right. I'm simply saying, if you do not have an everyday diet with this book, you are failing as a Christian. And you ain't, I'll cut right to it. You ain't going to make it to Canaan land. Period. If you ain't serious enough to say, by the grace of God, I'm going to get a grit down in me, and I'm going to make up my mind before I eat my food tomorrow, but I'm going to open up that word, and I'm going to hide that word in my heart, because I want to make it to Canaan. I'm sick of the life I'm living. I'm sick of the place I'm staying. I'm sick of seeing the same old signs and fighting the same old battles. I want more in life. If you do, there's more to be had, but you're going to have to get in that book and make up your mind. I don't care if I miss a meal tomorrow. I don't care what I do tomorrow. I ain't missing that. And I know some of you, if not many or most of you, hadn't done that yet. You say, are you being judgmental? No, I'm being honest. And if our church, if your family is going to make it to Canaan and get out of the wilderness, it's going to start with our relationship with this book. If nothing changes, I know this is simple, but profound. If nothing changes, nothing changes. If we don't change our daily habits, if we don't change our daily routines, if we don't say, I'm going to do more, I'm going to read more, I'm going to have more intake, I'm going to try harder to get His Word. He went out of His way to say, I better get with this if I'm going to make it there. So the least we could do is say, starting in the morning, I'm going to desire that more than my necessary food. When I feel like it, and when I don't, I'll give you a little golden nugget as a Christian. Most days, you ain't going to feel like it. Most days when you wake up, hey, hear me, come to me. Your breath's going to stink like it did yesterday morning, and your flesh is going to be as rotten as it was yesterday morning, and nothing in your flesh is going to wake up and say, yippee, I get to read the Bible today. No, don't work that way. No, you're going to have to wake up in the morning and say, just like I'll brush my teeth to deal with that stinking breath, I'll put deodorant on to deal with my stinking body, I will deny my flesh, and I will reckon myself to be dead, and I will die daily, and I'll be crucified every morning. And on purpose, deny myself and what the flesh wants to do, pick up my phone, read Facebook, cut the TV on, watch the news, fill in the blank. I'll deny that. I'll get to it. But first, I'm going to deny that. I'm going to take up my cross and I'm going to follow Him to His Word. That's where it starts if you want your life to change and get out of the wilderness and go with us to Canaan. Amen? Now, come on. That ain't complex theology. That ain't nothing you've ever heard. Oh, are you hearing me? The question is, do you want to go? The question is, I never start out with this message, Brother Jimmy, saying this. I'm going to show you some brand new, deep stuff. I said, Canaan land is just in sight. Now, the problem is that we ain't heard it. The problem is that we have. That's how you wander in a wilderness 40 years. On a track that only takes 11 days to get to. Yeah. You hear stuff over and over and you never do nothing about it. Yeah. Right. And we have heard and heard and heard and heard and got harder and harder and harder and harder until we just don't feel like it can change. And I'm here to tell you, by the grace of God, it can. Amen. And will. Amen. If you will change. Amen. Sure. Yeah. Amen. This ain't rocket science. No, this is just dealing with the low down dirty you. Yeah. And I know I talked about dirty stinking breath, but who wants to debate me that will not happen in the morning? Her breath don't smell like roses.
You got that?
Neither does yours. You know why I ain't got to deal with rotten, ranky, stanky breath? You know why I got to pull the Colgate out and brush and floss? And not one time will do. You say, oh, if you got children, you'll get this. Say, did you brush your teeth? Yeah. Like this week? Oh, did you take a bath? Yeah. This month? I smell you. Get your tail back in there. Jenny's rule. Brush your teeth at least 2 minutes. You wasn't in that bathroom 2 minutes. Go do it again. You know why? Because she's got to conquer the breath. I'm waking y'all up and being a little funny on purpose just simply to let you know bad breath is bad for everybody. Everybody wants you to brush your nasty teeth. Everybody in the truck with you wish to the Lord you'd put on some deodorant. Your B.O. is loud and proud today. I'm saying all that to say this. You got to deal with stinking flesh. If you don't deal with it, and I mean on a consistent basis, like religiously, like you brush your teeth, like you put on your deodorant, if you don't deal with your flesh, your flesh will deal with you. And you'll stink for it. Y'all must listen faster. We have just, I ain't got the scripture read yet. I made it further this morning. Listen. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Yeah. Don't you want that? Yeah. Good success, prosperous. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. All right. Preaching on Canaan land. It's just inside. Everybody okay? Listen to what the book of Joshua is. It's about war. It's battle after battle. It's fight after fight. And we too, in the Christian life, to get from where we are in our wilderness to Canaan land, whether it was 4,000 years ago with the children of Israel or whether it's for the child of God today, there's still battles that must be fought. There's still victories that have to be won. There's still things that we... Listen what the Bible said. Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. They were. Their battle was physical. Their battle was with one of them Amorites, Canaanites, or Jebusites. It was with people physically. But God said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Then what do we fight? Listen. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's many times, as hard as a physical fight would be, there's many times in the Christian life, I almost would say just stick, I'd about want to just fight something I could see versus swinging in the dark. Yes, not knowing. I mean, they just pow, hit you in the, where'd that come from? Pow! And you're just like, man, this is, I'm getting hit from every side, and I can't see where they're coming from. Why? Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and wickedness, darkness in high places. You have an enemy. And he ain't going to lay down and let us just get from where we are to there. He knows it's victorious over there. He knows it's a promised land over there. He knows it's a land of abundance over there. And he knows once we taste that, we're not going to ever want to go back to the wilderness living. And so he will fight tooth and nail. So will not only the devil, but so will the world. This world will demand of you this week. It'll say, you know you got prior commitments. And our world system is already in swing and already in motion. And you've got to do this and you've got to do that. And you know you got to be at work in the morning. And you can't get up early. Don't you know you're going to be tired? Don't you know you got to go slave all day tomorrow? And you're going to need all your beauty sleep. For you, I would say amen. You're going to need all the rest you can get. I promise you, you're way better off to get up 15 or 20 minutes early and get in that book and talk to the God of heaven before you start your day. Let me give you another little golden Christian nugget that I found. I've tried it, it's tested, and it's true. Get you a calendar. And I know most people don't even use them no more, so get on your phone app, calendar. And be honest with yourself and be honest with the Lord. And you start charting the days that you read your Bible and pray. Write it down. And then be honest. When you don't, write it down. And then go back in a month from now and just see how the blessings of God fall on the days you spent time with Him. How you were able to overcome the enemy on the day that you fed on the Word of God and feasted on the Word of God and had spent time with Him in prayer. How you were able to get over those things that on the days you didn't, on the days that you didn't take time to read the Bible and pray, you failed a temptation. You gave in. You said things that you didn't say on the... Trust me, do it. I dare you. Try it. Do it for 1 month. And you'll see that the favor of God falls on you when you honor His word, His way, and do it in His will.
That's right.
It's life-changing. It's life-altering. And that's why most Christians hadn't done it yet, because the devil knows that's how you do it. And if you get to that point, so simple, it just catapults you into the next season of your Christian life. And that's why most never get there, because the devil will fight you, your flesh will fight you, and the world will demand your time and fight you. But that is the winning ticket. That's why God amplified it over and over and over. Now, in our own strength, we cannot defeat our enemies. But the good news is, our enemies are nowhere near as powerful as our God. 1 John 4:4, because greater is He that is in you than he that is within the world.
That's
even in the midst of our battles, there's always hope for victory because the Lord's on our side. I mean, it looks like we're getting the slop beat out of us and still have hope. I mean, done been down and had the 8 count. And still in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, I ain't lost. I ain't still a chance by the grace of God. I've done been through it. Brother Ned, I've experienced it. I've been knocked down so hard. I mean, knocked down and counted out by the best of them, only to have the God of heaven bring hope back into my life and His goodness back into my life and His favor on me. And before I knew it, I was up and moving and walking and working and preaching and serving. When that done wrote my funeral column, and shazam, here I am.
Amen.
Why? Because with God, I'm a winner.
Amen.
I'm a winner either way. If I go, ain't you glad we're more than conquerors?
Amen.
I'm telling you, they ain't no life like being a Christian. Listen to what Romans said. Romans 8:31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. In fact, the Bible tells us that we are the recipients of victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It don't say through my physical training and through my own stamina and will and through my stick to it. No, victory comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because the truth is, in this battle we're battling, in this war we're wrestling against flesh, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and wickedness, and we can't win. That's a battle we would never be able to obtain victory, because that enemy is way too great for us. But hallelujah, it ain't us he's fighting. He's fighting at us to get to him. But hallelujah, if you save, him's in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Yeah. While we are engaged in battle with evil, there is the expectation that we can and will walk in victory in our lives. And for me, this is what the book of Joshua represents. It's a war. It's a battle of good versus evil. It's a battle of, really, this is what it's a battle of, not so much as even good versus evil, but it's a battle of good versus better. Because the wilderness, honestly, the wilderness was pretty good compared to Egypt. The wilderness wasn't so bad compared to captivity and bondage in Egypt. You ought to study sometime about how hard they had it. I mean, enslaved. I mean, working from daylight till dark, whipped and hardly fed. I mean, treated like animals. Now, they ain't in Canaan yet. They're in the wilderness. But you know what they're getting in the wilderness? God's raining manna right down out of heaven and feed them. They ain't having to lift their hand. They ain't having to go to work for it. They ain't having to get up and cook it. I mean, they just have to walk outside and look down and bam, there it is. I say that's pretty good. But it ain't the best. God didn't want them to stay there. God said, I promised you something better. God said, it's good here. I've made it good here. But this ain't where you should stay. This ain't my will for you. And hey, could we all admit this tonight? Your life may not be perfect, but God's been good to you. God has rained manna in whatever flavor you needed. Whether you needed mercy, bam, there it was. Whether you needed grace, bam, there it was. I mean, you wake up in the mornings and His mercies are brand new, fresh for you. God's been good to you even while you was wondering. While I was wondering, He was good to me. But God, He desires the best for me, not just good. He wants the best for me and for you. And He's been patient, hadn't He? Oh, you better come on better than that. Hadn't He been patient? My mind explodes when I get to thinking about the long suffering of God. You say, oh, I'm patient. You're a moron, what you are. I ain't patient, and I'll just tell you. You get me in traffic, and I'm ready to kill somebody. I told Brian the other day, I'd rather ride 15 miles around than to sit for 5 minutes at a train. Drives me insane. And I got that genetically from my crazy mama who sits right there, and I've watched her do it. She'll come into a train and see it, and she'll take off that way. And I'll say, that's where that come from. See the things you did to me? I'm simply saying, I'm simply saying, I'm not very patient. This happened right before church. My daughter, and whom I love, like I do all my daughters, where they are, one, two, three, and yeah. I was leaving. I had to do a head count. They ain't together. Was pulling out of church. I was dressed, had my coat, my everything on, and was in the truck and backing out. And I blowed the horn at Ellie. She was walking up to get in the car with Mr. Caden. Since my daughter don't never ride to church with me no more, thanks a lot, Caden. And she decides she's going to be a little smarty pants. And when your daddy's a preacher, you don't think you get the last laugh, because here we are. Boom, chocolate, got you. She tried to be a little smarty pants, and this is what I did. I jumped out of the truck, and I whipped my belt off like I was Zorro or whoever. I said, I'll beat you. And the truth was, I couldn't get to her fast enough. She was too fast. I caught you, didn't I? Like sitting ducks. I'm saying, I ain't patient. I ain't patient. My children will, they'll drive me crazy. I'm like, just do it already.
Yeah. Amen.
Law especially. That child moves at the speed of butter. I mean, just. She wasn't getting in a hurry if she was in a hailstorm. I mean, she is not going to move fast. She brushed her teeth like, let me watch my tablet. I would brush my teeth, but that would require me getting it. I mean, she is just, and then my mom will be there to pick her up for school, and she is always the last one out the door. And rather than trotting, she was like a sluggard. I mean, like a, what's them? A sloth. Yeah, law, speed it up, girl, speed it up. But I'll be impatient, and it ain't me that's going to be late. It's my mama going to be late to school, and it's sitting there burning me up because I'm so impatient. I'm like, move, child, pick up your feet. And that's on such a micro level. But think about the macro level. I'm talking about the patience of God. These Israelites that God parted the Red Sea, that God sent all kind of plagues, one after another. I mean, just frogs popping up everywhere. The death angel, one thing after another, to deliver his people. And then parted the Red Sea and delivered them. And then said, 11-day journey that way is the land of promise. 40, not days, not months, 40 years. I would say, and he's still feeding them. Miraculously, not making them eat bugs and leaves and like these morons today trying to tell me I can't have a steak or a hamburger, eat bugs, it's better for the planet. They need to sue their brain for non-support. I mean, they've lost their mind if they think I'm going to eat a bug. I mean, what kind of morons live in this world?
Amen.
They are actual stores that sell bugs for food. And idiots that buy it. Listen, God said that way, and 40 years later, God's still feeding them. God's still waking them up with the grace of God. God's still waking them up and still loving on them. God's still being patient with them. What a lesson for us as Christian people. Hey, I know I ain't where I should be. I ain't all I need to be. And if you don't believe me, ask her. She'll tell you. She does a pretty good job of not telling. But if you really want to know, she knows me better than any human living. She knows me better than my mama. She knows me better than my children. She knows me better than anybody. And she knows. And yet God has been so good, so gracious, and so long-suffering and so patient with me. And if He has, and He has, under heaven, how could I not be that way to other people? Especially other Christian people that I call brother and sister. People that's living where God's already brought you from and delivered you from. You remember what it was like to be a newborn babe. Please. Don't offend somebody and say, well, you should be doing this or you should be doing this quicker. Do you not remember where He found you? You didn't just pop into existence to where you are today. No, it's been some years. Been a lot of water under the bridge. Been a whole lot of, Lord, I'm sorry. Been a whole lot of, oh God, here I am again. Oh Lord, I failed again. All them mountains of mess ups and sins and God being patient. Amen. We need to learn from the Lord just to be a little more patient, long-suffering with His people. Because He's holy. He's perfect. He's God. And if He can be patient, surely us messed up sinners who've been just like everybody else that we want to run our mouth about can be a little more patient with people.
That's right,
bro. After all, we're not the potter. Our hands ain't molding them. He is. And he is still working on them. He didn't call you to work on them. He didn't call you to mold anybody. He called you to pray for them. He called you to encourage them.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. So God was patient and He was good and He was long-suffering. Now, as the book opens, Moses, the great leader of Israel, has died. A new leader named Joshua has been appointed to lead the nation of Israel into Canaan. After 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, Israel is about to take possession of the land God promised Abraham many centuries earlier. Now, listen to Genesis 12:7 said, "And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him." This book is about the battles Israel faced in order to claim that promise from God. That's what the book of Joshua is all about. Joshua is the book about warfare, painful defeats, suffering, and great victories. The book of Joshua, if you're reading it and you are looking for it, I encourage you to read through the book of Joshua because we're going to be in it. If you're looking for nothing but victory, don't read it. If you're looking for nothing but God delivering, don't look for that. Because you're going to find that, but you're also going to find some major defeats. I mean, some awful, awful whoop downs. I mean, where you thought they was just going to win and march right on in, and they went back. And they went back to their own ingenuity. And they went back to trying to do it their own selves. And they got greedy here and there. And they did this and did that. And they would have setbacks. As we all do. I'll give the floor gladly to anybody in here who's foolish enough and prideful enough to say, I ain't had no setbacks. No, we've had them. And so did they. But ain't you glad that God put the whole book in there? Ain't you glad God included some of the setbacks just to let us know that victory, I mean, marching into Canaan, because the first time, if all God put in there was, I promise you the land of Canaan and get out of the wilderness and make it to it. And here comes a Perizzite and here comes a Jebusite. Pow, squat, and just march right on over them and praise God. The walls of Jericho fell, and that's all we knew about the book of Joshua. Well, it'd be fine and dandy until we got up into a city like I preached about last week and we failed. And we were defeated. Then what? Then where would we look to? Because if God, but God thought enough about us, He said, I'm going to put it all in there. I'm going to put everything they need in there. I'm going to put the wins. I'm going to put the victories. I'm going to put the greatness. But I'm also going to put the setbacks and the defeats, because they're going to have them. And they need to know, when, even when you're trying, and even when you're trying to get over there and you fail and you make a mess of today, you, by the grace of God, you go to bed tonight and you wake up in the morning with brand new fresh mercy and start again trying to make prosperous success. And you'll get there. You'll get there. Don't give up at your first defeat, because I promise you, if we all start fresh over today, brand new clean slate, before this week's over, many of us, and I said us, will have had some setbacks and defeats. So don't quit. Don't stop when you have a setback and when you have a defeat. Get up by the grace of God. Dust yourself off. Get it under the blood and move forward for the glory of God and get to Canaan. Fast as you can. It is a book that has much to teach us about Christianity and obtaining spiritual victory in our lives. I'm not going to mention this, I dealt with this morning, but Canaan is not heaven. Canaan is the victorious Christian life. We talked about that this morning. My goal in preaching is to help us to stop wandering in the wilderness and to enter into Canaan. That's my goal. That's the whole purpose of me preaching this, is for our church to make progress, to become successful, to become more prosperous, to have the favor and blessings of God on us as we leave where we are, moving into the next stage of this church's life. Amen. That's my goal. That's God's goal. It's my desire to help our church move past the pain and problems of past. And I said this morning, I thank God for the rich heritage at our church. I wouldn't be here without it. So I'm not knocking that at all. No more than Joshua would ever knock Moses or all that was built and made and all the work done to get them where they was. That ain't the point at all. The point is, yes, they've been pains in the past. Yes, they've been problems in the past. But hey, listen, my part is to not dwell on the problems and the pains of the past. My point is, and my calling is, to say, hey, we are here, but we're not staying here. We're moving forward. The glory of God. To get over problems of the past and pains of the past and move us into the peace and the power of the present and the future that God has for us. Into the Lord's rest. It's my prayer that through the preaching of the Word of God, we will witness the dawning of a new day. In our lives, individually, and in our lives as a family, and in our lives as a church. I mean a new day. Have you ever moved? I'm done. I still. We finished the introduction. We got through that.
Amen.
But I'm done. I'm tired. I know you are. But listen, look. Bible says, "Man shall work by the sweat of his brow."
Love you, Grace. Love you, Bella.
Hey, I got spit on and sweat on by preachers when I was growing up, and I loved it. Well, y'all can't be a preacher. I said it might be what made me be a preacher, but make you a good preacher's wives, girls. Listen, how many of you have ever moved? I'm done. How many of you have ever moved from one home or house to another? That you lived at the first one a good long while, and you woke up every morning, saw the same sight, had the same, you know, home. And then you moved to where you are now or somewhere. It's a change of view, ain't it? You have to get used to things don't look the same. It's a whole different view.
we've been living, spiritually speaking, where we are for so long. What I'm trying to preach and what I'm trying to get us all to understand is time to move. I'm not talking about doctrinally. I'm not talking about away from old-timey religion. I'm talking about spiritually speaking, individually and as a church, to a new level. To from where we are to the promised land that God has for us.
Amen.
God absolutely has more.
Amen.
I don't know. I'm going to encourage you from it. I don't know if you've noticed. But our numbers in any direction you can look at are up dramatically.
Yeah.
Our tithing has doubled since I became the pastor. Our attendance has went through the roof. People are joining. People are getting saved. We're growing.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. It's a great thing. God wouldn't allow all that to be happening if He didn't have bigger plans to take us. You know what my heart is? And we're going to outgrow this.
Right.
Say, surely not. Surely we can.
Amen.
I'm anticipating having to knock walls down.
Amen.
I'm anticipating where we're going to put more parking lots.
Yes.
Where we're going to house more people. How we're going to minister to more people. You know why? Because they're coming. Because a church on the move is a church that people are interested in coming and getting involved and getting help from.
Amen.
A church that's wandering around in circles, everybody's seen it, been there and done that, and they're bored with it.
Yeah.
But by the grace of God, that ain't going to be this church.
Amen.
We're moving forward. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Lord, in Jesus' name, take your word. Help us, Lord God, to take your word. Just simple, elementary Bible truth. But Lord, you have something big planned for us. And I want to say publicly, Lord, I want to thank you, God, for all the years of work. God, for all the miles that have been logged to get us where we are. For all the enemies, God, that the Moses, Lord, of this place has already overcome, all the prayers prayed, all the power of God that He influenced this way. I thank you, God, for all that's been done. Oh, God, I pray you'd help me to always be thankful. But, Lord, we are where we are. God, I know, Lord, your will is for us to move forward. God, to have more success. Great success. Not that we could glory or not that we could gloat or get prideful about it, but Lord, that we could minister to more people. God, that we could see more sinners saved by the grace of God. Lord, that more would worship you in spirit and in truth. I pray you'd do big things. Lord, you've been moving. God, you've been reviving. And I pray you'd continue, Lord. Have your will and way, God, in our church. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Thank you for what you're doing. And thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Like never before, I have an anticipation and an excitement, Lord, about where you're taking us. I feel, Lord, something big on the horizon. And I pray you'd help us, Lord, to prepare our hearts. Oh, God, help us, Lord, individually, as families, and as a church. Help us, Lord, to meditate in your word. God, help us to keep your word in our mouth. God, if we take anything home tonight to change, God, if it's been a challenge tonight, remind us, Lord, how we need to get in your word that we'd have strength for the journey. The children of Israel went from eating from the hand of God to having to do it ourselves. God, this journey is going to require more of us. It's going to require preparation, prayer, and things that we've not had to do. And I pray, Lord, you'd empower us, envision us, and Lord, strengthen us for the journey that's ahead. We'll bless your name, Lord. As these are praying, you do business with the Lord. Many are praying. If we can help you in any way, you come.